Big up, Crossy.
Hi, Javed. Can you hear me okay?
Hi Dan, hearing you loud and clear.
Excellent. Got some new headphones. Just checking.
Oh, very nice, very nice. What type of headphones you got?
They're just some Sony ones. Nothing too fancy, but just an early Christmas present from the wife.
Oh, lovely. I use the Samsung earbuds and they seem to be working pretty good.
I got them mainly to while I'm working, sort of drowns out the kids so I can concentrate.
Oh yes. I need perfect silence though. I usually can't work out with music or anything in my ear.
Yeah, I don't mind a bit of music. Well, these days it's usually FPL content constantly.
You're still able to concentrate and work while you have that in your ear?
Yeah,
You're really good at multitasking though.
I tend to do okay. I was listening to that Hall earlier with Mariner and Gabe.
Gabe should be joining us soon. Nima had to cancel today. He had a family emergency, so will just be you and Gabe for now. So guys, if you could just retweet my pinned tweet so we could build up some crowd. My pinned tweet that's saying we are live. Ducky, let's see how bad that voice is.
No way.
Guys, so we will just be starting in about a few minutes. So if you could just retweet my pinned tweet so we could just build up some more crowd, and then we'll go ahead and start up. Dano, how are you doing,
Hey
mate?
Javid, how are you, man?
I'm good. Nice to see you around.
Nice to see you. Yeah, I'm just debating whether to play the wild card this game week or just use my two free transfers.
All right. So Dano, I'm gonna private message you the agenda for today. We're gonna start in 2 minutes. Guys, so welcome to the FPL Dialogue. I'm your host today, Javed Khan at FPL Dagger FC. Today, our speakers will be the FPL legend, Dan Bennett, our friendly neighborhood hauler, FPL Lens. We have Andy Martin, and we have Dano, our usual guy, FPL Rubber Ducky. He isn't too well today, so let's send him some love and let's hope that he feels better. And we can start off with Dano. Dano, and this question, Dano, you could give your input, and then all of the other speakers could give their opinion. When we go through the structured questions, then we'll open up the floor for Q&A. So, guys, just bear with us who would want to speak later on the program. So, Dano, tell me, is it time to ditch big at the back?
Yeah, possibly. Well, I've never been a fan of double defense anyway. That's just I've always been because, yeah, don't get me wrong, it can give you like points, like if they both do well, but if you get one clean sheet wipeout for both of them, you're on no points. That's why I always stick with one. Like I still understand why people want to stay at big at the back, but I think having two cheaper options and having three big at the back players like James can sell out Trent, and having two cheaper options is the safe way to go right now, in my opinion. Don't know if anyone else agrees, but I just think with double defense is a bit risky. It can pay off, but it can also not pay off.
This is I think one near and dear to me because I did go just full. I sold Livermento and went full big five at the back, and I have to say with all the carnage we're experiencing, especially this week in FPL, transferring out one of those defenders seems like a luxury transfer to me. There's a lot going on right now, and I feel like I have to kind of concentrate my resources. I've made my bed with big at the back for this fixture period, and I think that the reasons why I did that still apply even if it hasn't worked out in the past couple of game weeks. So I think I'm gonna ride the, and I did it really for the upside of those budget of those in general terms overall FPL budget players. They're premium for defenders, but overall, 6 million is nice for that kind of ceiling. So I think I'm just gonna ride it out and try to take care of the fires in the COVID outbreaks and the injuries myself.
Yeah, I'm in a similar position. I've got big five at the back, and as we say, the last 3 game weeks haven't been too good at all. But I've still managed green arrows in those game weeks. So I've been able to carry them. Yeah, I think I'm going to hold on to them for a few more weeks. I have looked at, if I want to bring in Ronaldo, I may have to lose one of them, probably Diaz, maybe Alonso. But yeah, for their price, I still expect them to prove good value over the Christmas period.
Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, I think that's a good point from Dan. Like, I go into every game expecting to get the clean sheet. So it is kind of always a shock when they, like Man City concede or Chelsea concede. And there's no reason to jump off. I know that we can't judge it too much on past experiences and what's happened in the past, but because every week's a fresh week. And every week I'm thinking a clean sheet is more likely than not a clean sheet with these big clubs. So I'm still happy with my double Man City defence, even though it's not done well recently with the clean sheets that they keep losing. And it is frustrating, but every week it gets around to the deadline, I'm thinking, surely Man City with these fixtures are going to keep clean sheets. So I just can't see myself coming off Diaz and Cancelo anytime soon, because the alternatives seem luckier to get a clean sheet, and that's what effectively your defenders are there for. So for me, I'm someone that's going to be keeping big at the back with Trent, James, Cancelo and Diaz, and then still have Livramento. And I don't really like making transfers on defenders anyway, so I think you can utilise transfers elsewhere in the squad. So that's why I'll be staying on my defence as it is.
I like the point that you guys made earlier on, where we spoke about there are so much other fires to put out in our teams rather than focusing on defence and wasting that transfer. Like, you know, this rumoured Spurs outbreak of COVID. Well, I mean, it's not a rumour. It's just the rumour on who are the players right now. And, you know, Son was one of the rumoured players. And yeah, to me, it's just a wasted transfer at this point in time. I guess the core could be Trent, Cancelo, James, and we build from there. Like, traditionally, I always would have had a 4.0 defender. That was Livramento. I had him from the start. Now he's about 4.5. So he probably would not leave my team. And then to make up the other position, I have Ben White, who has some decent fixtures coming up. So those three basically would be my core, and I'm gonna build going up from that. Dano, you wanna tell us like what was the makeup of your defense?
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but Salah just scored for Liverpool in the Champions League, so that's another goal for Salah. Just to let everyone know.
I mean, I love Salah, but I really think that he should have been rested today. But I mean, Salah is just a monster. He just wanna keep on going and going.
Yeah, I'd say him and Mane just wanted to play the game, to be honest, but the San Siro is good atmosphere. But yeah, my three are, the three big are James, Trent and Cancelo, and then I have Ben White and Tino Livramento as well. They're my other two cheaper options in defence. So that's my five defenders that I have.
Dano, do you think if suddenly Man City get clean sheets, would you switch? Would you make the move? Or is it the fact that I'm not getting clean sheets doesn't bother you too much? Or
make the move to who?
So like if Man City, say, got like three clean sheets in a row, would that make you consider a different approach and get someone like Diaz in if suddenly you got three clean sheets?
Not necessarily, no. I just don't. Like, I see the upside to it, but then I don't. I'm never really a believer in the double defense, so I've never really went for it. I'm probably still not going to go for it. So that's just my opinion on it. Everyone has a different opinion on it, but I just don't personally like it.
Can I ask, Dano, are you going double City mid? Are you tripling up on City for this run?
I'll probably just get one City mid and then have Cancelo. I don't really see the double up in midfield. I obviously can do well, but I might just get one, which would probably be Bernardo Silva, because I just really like Bernardo at the minute. Like, other midfielders are doing okay for them, but I don't really see them being anywhere near Bernardo Silva's level at the minute. Especially form-wise as well.
Is there any thought that with these upcoming fixtures, that like the template shifts quite quickly and quite strong as well when it does, it gets entrenched pretty quickly. Double City could, I fear, my fear is Double City could become the norm just very quickly, and Triple City would be a way to differentiate at least a little bit given the upcoming fixtures. But I understand your aversion to doubling up, so I get it.
Yeah, they're good fixtures, don't get me wrong. It's just like obviously now and then before I would have doubled up probably on mids or mids. I've done it before, but not really. I'm not really a massive fan of doubling up. Like, I understand that they obviously can help people's rank, and if they do well, then it affects my rank. But I just kind of think of it is what it is, really. I see upsides to other teams and stuff, so that's just the way I think about it personally. But yeah, that's my opinion on that.
All right, well, guys, yeah, you heard it, yeah.
Javid, sorry, can I just add one more thing?
Sure, Dan.
The other thing I was going to mention is that there are a couple of other defenders that I quite like the look of coming up. One of them is Soufal at West Ham. He did really well for me last season. I think he got 9 assists in the Premier League last season. And West Ham's fixtures are nice coming up. I've seen a few videos today comparing Davies at Spurs and Dalot at Man United, both 4.4. If one of those looks to provide good value, I may downgrade one of my premium defenders to target one of those.
You said Davies and what about the Villa defense and West Ham for those nice fixtures that are coming up? Are those in your radar at all, Dan?
Yeah, as I say, was it Kufal, Soufal? He's
Soufal should be nailed Soufal now that cool. Johnson is out.
Yeah, Soufal looks good. Cool.
I'm a big fan of him. I may go there. As you say, I think West Ham's fixtures are good all the way until like game week 26, 27.
I think from the Aston Villa the point of view, as you were saying there, Jav, I think Matty Cash, is it? He looks good, I think, Matty Cash. I think he's been playing well under Gerrard, so I think he looks like a good option.
Yeah, he's a good attacking fullback, and also under Gerrard, you could see some rejuvenation in Aston Villa. So I was tinkering last night and looking at Buendia, Watkins, and a lot of things that I could have.
Ezri Konsa looks good for a centre-back.
Yeah.
But I think he's only overperforming what his stats are. I think he'll eventually that will die down. I think Matty Cash could be a better option for game weeks to come. I'm also looking at Diogo Dalot and maybe Davies from Spurs, but my main option is probably Soufal, though, to be honest, because last year he was very consistent for me. I know West Ham have been good defensively, but they still leaked a few goals, but they've got good fixtures. But yeah, Soufal could be an option.
Interesting that you mentioned Dalo. He's one that that I would like. If he's nil, I guess it probably would be a no-brainer to bring him in with the new system that that they are playing. So that's an interesting one also.
Yeah, I don't think Bissaka would be able to do what Dalo does. The way Ragnik seems like he's gonna play, Bissaka won't be able to do all them crosses. He can barely cross the ball, so Dalot is very good at that as well. So, Bissaka is much better defensively than Dalot, I'll admit that. But I think Ragnik does like Dalot. Obviously, we haven't seen Bissaka under him yet, but I don't think he'd be able to do what Dalot does at all, really. That's no offense to Bissaka. I still think he's a good player, but I just think he's really good defensively, personally. But attacking-wise, Dalot is quite good. And he was good for AC Milan when he was on that loan spell as well.
All right, guys. So, let's move on to the next segment. And all the listeners, again, one small request. If you could just retweet my pinned tweet so we can get the word out of this dialogue that we are having here. Much appreciated. So I guess our defense is sorted out. Big at the back. Our speakers say stay with that. Now going forward to the midfield now. Now, is it that we should go big in the middle with, four mid-price midfielders plus Salah? Dan, you could start off this discussion.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, as you say, Salah's a mainstay. He's not going anywhere. Although, as Dano pointed out, I don't know why, or somebody pointed out, I don't know why Salah's playing tonight. But I guess he wanted to play in the San Siro.
I think Salah, he wants to play every game, to be fair to him. He has that drive.
Yeah, he's played every single minute in the league, I think. He got to come to in the 94th minute the other day, but that's about
Yeah, I think you get
rest of the
taken
game.
off in like the 60th minute, though. It depends on the result, but I think you probably will get taken off early.
Yeah, I hope so.
To be honest, I don't really care about Mane, though. I don't really care that he's starting. Does Mane doesn't really bother me. Jota's the other asset, not Mane. So Mane doesn't really affect it, to be honest.
Yeah, and then as you say, yeah, Jota, we've all got Jota, I think. And he's a great hope for the foreseeable. I think he's got those elite level stats just like Salah, and I think he's going to play regularly. I had a quick look on Firmino's injury, and the latest I could find was still the return mid-December. So, but even when he's back, I think they'll ease him back in because they're probably going to need him for January when Salah and Mane are likely to go to play the African Cup of Nations. I assume AFCON's still going ahead, given the growing COVID concerns. So that's Salah and Jota, and then I guess most of us now will want at least one Man City midfielder. There's a lot of talk on Twitter the last couple of days about which one to go for, but I don't think you can go wrong with any, to be fair. Foden's got the better underlying stats. Gundogan's got some good stats too, but it's that guy Bernardo Silva who's flying right now, is in the form of his life. And sometimes players just have these purple patches, and you just got to hop on.
I think Bernardo
So
Silva is the I think
Dan,
Bernardo Silva is the
Dan and
Gundogan of
Dano.
last season,
Yeah,
personally.
that's the thing. While you're on Bernardo Silva, right? I just wanted to ask you a question. You know, some players we miss the ride, right? He had two nice holes so far. Do you think it's too late, or should we still jump on Bernardo Silva?
Obviously, he might not haul as much, but his fixtures are still incredible, to be fair. So I think I still think he'll do well, but he mightn't haul as much though, but the fixtures are still just too good to not be probably getting one of the City midfield assets, especially him.
Well, I'll give you my take, and it's quite clear where I sit because I actually bought him in Saturday night, which is a risky move for me bringing him in so early. But I just think I had to get on him. Sometimes I've been playing this game a long time since 2007, and sometimes you just get a feel when these players are just it's the right you've got to get on them. And I still think it's okay to get on him right now. I should point out one of the main reasons I got him is because I've got a transfer plan with exact cash to get Bernardo Silva and Ronaldo this game week. So I've done the Bernardo transfer, but I'm doubting the Ronaldo transfer right now, so I haven't made that switch yet. But yeah, so I still think he's good to get. I think if you've got Foden, you hold him. Although I did read somewhere Foden came off at half time today, and someone
Yeah, I
said
read
should.
that it was precautionary though, so it's one to consider.
Yeah, I think the last I saw just before we came on was Pep said he felt his ankle early in the game, but I guess as you say, it's probably a precaution.
Phil Foden is a new troll. He's an absolute mess.
I've not done well with Foden yet this season. I got him in, and yeah, he's not done anything for me.
Yeah, thankfully I've never owned them so far, so don't
Yeah,
have to worry about them
I
really.
moved him on to Jota a couple of game weeks ago.
No, that would have been a move that worked out fine for you, Dan.
Yeah, it was just before Jota's 14 pointer, I think.
Andy, I have a question for you. If you had to choose between Foden and Bernardo Silva right now to transfer in the upcoming game week, who would you go with?
Oh, Javid, don't do this to me, please. Honestly, it's such a tough toss of the coin, isn't it? to pick
one. Yeah, well, Andy, that's why we have you here.
I mean, I'm always a big Foden fan because I think he's a special talent, and he is direct. He likes to get a shot away and can create so much as well. But we can't ignore Bernardo Silva's form, right? I mean, this guy, everything he touches at the moment is just brilliant. And like Gabe said, I think that I wouldn't be reluctant to go to him in midfield because I think the goals are going to come. Often the halls are shared between players in the team. So perhaps if you can double up and if one of them hauls and one of them doesn't, it doesn't hurt too bad. But if you pick the wrong one, then that's going to really sting. And although I won't be doing it because I'm on double Man City defence, but I think if you've only got the Cancelo in defence and you've got an opportunity to get two in, I wouldn't sway anyone off getting Foden and Bernardo Silva, because if you go for one and the other one does well, it's horrible to watch. And I think you keep both in because maybe one of them gets rotated at a time, which doesn't seem to matter if you've got another one that can always get the goals as well. So I'm sitting on the fence a bit because it is difficult. I mean, I'm probably going to say Foden because I'm a big Foden fan. And I think in the more advanced role, I think probably he gets more opportunities to score. But we know how clinical Bernardo's been. So, Javid, honestly, it's tough, right? I don't want to sway one person. Yeah, it's difficult, right?
So you think they're the best two City mids? So obviously, I'd say Gundogan is probably after them. No one else is really considered, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I'd put Foden and Bernardo Silva as the first two, with Gundogan third. Yeah, I'd say. But I think going for two, if you can get two, is okay. And I'd even favour a second one over someone like Bowen, for example, who a lot of people are going for. Just because there's more chance of a haul with this Man City midfield, because of just the amount of goals they can score with these good run of fixtures, they can be doing fives and sixes, and you don't get that with West Ham. You're going to have to be lucky to collect a haul from Bowen again, because West Ham are going to only score maybe perhaps two or three, and it's again shared. But I just see City scoring loads between now and New Year.
Interesting that you mentioned Bowen, Andy. That's one of the next topics we come into. So since you mentioned Bowen, I guess you don't feel that highly about him. You think that the City midfielders are more preferred in that regard?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I've got Bowen. I bought Bowen in last week. It's well documented that I got him off the bench yesterday, which is very nice. So appreciate him.
And that's the luck that I need right now in my life, Andy. You know, to bench a player with 11 points and have them come in and not get a 1 point from Livermore. So, guys, yeah, if you all could say a prayer for me to get some luck like that, you know, I could be back to former glory. So,
yeah. I mean, I still got Livermore off my bench as well because Tony and Smith Rowe missed out. So, unfortunately, Broyer was sat there in third bench. But I'm not going to take, I'm not going to do too much luck. But Bowen's great. I mean, the fixtures is the thing that sways it to get West Ham assets in now. Now that the tough run of fixtures are over, so I don't understand why people held Antonio, because the likelihood of him getting the
Andy,
high returns.
Does Tony miss Watford? Sorry for interrupting, but does he miss the Watford game as well? Or
he misses the next two? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So Tony's 10 days, and I think it was Saturday or Sunday when he got COVID, so he misses the following Tuesday as well. So it'd be two games, yeah. So for Tony, I mean, I've got Tony, so I think he's going to be going out this week because of the two games that he misses. If it was one, I might think differently, but two games, yeah, he's gone. But just back to West Ham, I think it's a good time to move on them. I think it's a good time to have Antonio again, because the fixtures are very nice, and Antonio, again, can come up against defences that he can bully and get shots away. But yeah, any West Ham, it's interesting that people are going for Bowen, solely on Bowen as the midfield option, and not looking at Fornals or Benrahma. I do wonder why the Twitter template kind of is leaning just towards Bowen.
I think Fornals is a good option though as well. Obviously, I don't really know about Benrahma just, okay, he's still a good asset, but I think he just looks a bit off compared to what he was at the start of the season, I just think Lanzini's been playing decent as well, so Lanzini's kind of pushing for his position. Like, I know Fornals didn't play the other game, but I think that was just tactical. Like, Fornals, the game before, I think, don't get me wrong, I think he hit the crossbar of the post from an Antonio pass, so, like, he could have scored that, and he's played pretty well, considering. So I think he's another good option as well. Like, he could actually outscore Bowen. Like, so, like, Bowen, like, is good, but he could even be a bit better asset. So I think people are underestimating Fornals' potential.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I think Benrahma is more suited to these teams that West Ham are facing now than against the likes of Manchester City and Liverpool, because Benrahma is someone that can unlock defences. And I think we'll see a lot more Benrahma creating stuff.
Teams ignore and underestimate Fornals as well, because I think they concentrate, obviously, in Antonio, then they concentrate in Bowen because of his energy and all that. And then they don't really realise, oh, they kind of forget about Fornals, and Fornals can just do something out of nowhere as well. Because sometimes I just think they focus on Bowen and Antonio too much.
Yeah, I mean, I like how central Fornals gets, and he can get a shot away in the box a lot. If things are going to drop to Fornals in these coming fixtures, so I would still say it's between Bowen and Fornals, but I wouldn't rule out Benrahma either. It's just interesting. I mean, the main question is, why is everyone on Bowen and not considering anyone else? That's why.
I guess it's a form thing, Andy, because the last couple of games, Bowen has been making some decent runs, getting some points. You know, it's just that he is the West Ham player who getting, you know, the FPL return. So I guess that's the reason for it. But we could very well see things shift back to the way they were at the beginning of the season, where Benrahma played that number 10 role, Antonio up on top, and they, you know, could find back that talismanic connection they had. So that's also one to look at. I don't think we should write off Benrahma totally at this point in time. Maybe he could find back that form that he had in the earlier in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always a firm believer of jumping on assets ahead of the nice fixture run rather than jumping on it midway through after the returns have come. So I think it is good to move to West Ham now. I think it's good to perhaps get one or even two players in from their team. Depends how you set up. But I think that you get a West Ham midfielder and you stick with that player. And I think it'd be fine if you go for an hour over Bowen. I think it's not going to be an issue. Come the fixture run that is five or six games now. So,
all right, thanks, Andy. So, Gabe, I have this question for you.
I had a quick question about West Ham, if I could. Yeah. When we're talking about the West Ham,
yeah, sure.
Is the conversation about a double up with Antonio, or is this instead of Antonio?
It could be, well, probably either or, but realistically, I don't know what. Well, Andy thinks about it, but I'd say probably double up, because realistically most people are still going to keep Antonio. So I'd say it's probably a double up. So one mid and an Antonio, probably, I imagine, is what people are thinking at the minute.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, Antonio's a strange one for me. I think if you've got him, oh, it's definitely a keep. And I think you add a West Ham midfielder. I don't have Antonio. I've just got Bowen. And it's whether I drop Kane down to Antonio, or do I switch to Ronaldo? Is the reason that, like, is my thinking, and because I don't really have the money to spend, so if I drop Kane to Antonio, I just have money in the bank. So I'm just wondering, do I just keep Kane to Ronaldo? I don't know which is the better option there, because I think Ronaldo can do well as well with his fixture run. So it is difficult, but I think if you own Antonio, you definitely hold, and you probably add a mid as well.
Yeah, I'm actually looking to bring in Antonio. I wonder, a question I have about Antonio is he a bit of a flat track bully this season? Has he been used to kind of like destabilize the positioning of defenses against tougher opposition, opening space up for the Fornals and the Bowens of the world? And then if that is the case, will that go back to the way it was at the beginning of the season when they had better fixtures? And then Antonio will just kind of be penetrating more.
Well, if anyone's seen the West Ham versus, sorry to interrupt, but if anyone's seen the West Ham versus Chelsea game, some of the midfield players actually go run through centrally and go another side, because Antonio went to the wing against Chelsea. He went on to that other side. Antonio can sometimes do that. Obviously, he was a winger before he was a striker. So sometimes that can happen. That opens up space for mids and they can get points from that. Obviously, it doesn't really benefit you as an Antonio owner. And obviously, you got lucky with that assist when Masuaku scored that weird goal. But yeah, you can notice when Antonio does that, he goes out to the wing and uses the strength to buddy off people. So he opens up the mids and then just uses his build-up play. So yeah, Antonio can sometimes, obviously he can stay up front, but he can also go out to the wing as well.
I just don't think he'll need to do that in these upcoming fixtures, and that's what makes him
appealing to me. It's like the bigger team, sometimes that happens, but sometimes he can do that anyway. He just drifts out if he can't get enough. Sometimes if he can't get space as well, that's where he goes out, tries to get more of the ball and holds it up and frees up people as well. It's actually good for sometimes in West Ham for that when that happens, so the mids can actually just press up. And the mids are very good at pressing up, as you've seen against Chelsea when Mendy forced a mistake. I know it was a bad pass from Jorginho, but the mids are good at pressing, especially Bone with how much energy he has. But that's what I think. And anyway, obviously, Antonio, I think it's still a good option. I don't think there's many really outstanding forward options at the minute, personally. I think there's only like a few, that are okay. I don't think the forwards are really catching people's eyes that much at the minute. I think it's really mids, but that can always change. Like nearly every game week, it changes, and people want defenders, or they want mids, and they want forwards. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see how Antonio does in these fixtures. He's been hot and cold this season, that's for sure.
Yeah, Andy, go ahead.
Yeah, just with Antonio, I mean, I was strongly against him because he's up against Diaz, he's up against Van Dijk, he's up against Rudiger, other strong defenders who are like the world-class defenders, and you're not going to get much return out of these players ever. Now he's up against your Tarkowskis and Grant Hanleys and lower defenders, right? So he's now back to bully status. He's going to get more space, I believe, to get shots away against these defences. So for me, Antonio is now one to look at, even though it looks like he's been on bad form. That's just because the fixtures and the matchups, right? Now he's going to be up against weaker defences. And I think it's a great time to get on him. And I'm talking myself into him over Ronaldo because maybe I can't trust Ronaldo yet. I'm still getting up to speed with it. So
I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to push you in that direction further, Andy. I got some views on Ronaldo.
I mean, I'm not sold on Ronaldo by any means. It was just kind of like the Kane to Ronaldo, keep that premium striker. But I could just do Kane to Antonio and keep the funds in the bank, right? It doesn't have to be a structure. If you got the funds in the bank, it's fine. But
yeah, and the Kane to Ronaldo was
money on your midfield or wherever else you want to use, or you could just kind of keep it in the bank if you ever stuck to put other fires out as these.
Exactly. I mean, I don't mind money in the bank if I'm happy with the rest of my squad.
But don't think anyone does, to be honest. I think they like guys, having that money in the bank sometimes.
So we just have one more item before we go into the Kane Ronaldo discussion, because that's next on the agenda. Gabe, a United midfielder. Well, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think they're still a wait and see. I'm with Andy. I like to jump on assets, on emerging assets, quite early. But this is we haven't seen enough from United. We learned a lot from, I think, their previous game. But as of, right now, I think I would favor, and I think this might be a style of play thing, maybe not. But I would favor Rashford because he hasn't played much this season at all. He does have the work rate for a Rangnick team, so you could see him being integral in several areas and of the game plan. He would play in the front too, when he's on the field, and it makes more sense to rotate the older guys there, right? So, I understand he's more than Jadon Sancho, and Jadon Sancho seems to be on some set pieces, but I think Jadon Sancho, I think his role is still yet to be determined in the team, although he is carving it out for himself. And I would advise, referencing the conversation earlier, I would advise strongly against the fullbacks. Diogo Dello historically, he's not a good defender. He can attack, but he's going to make his mistakes and And Rangnick is just learning, you know, his players and testing them in certain ways. And I think all four of those, of like Wan-Bissaka, Dalot, Shaw, and Telles, I think they're all rotation proof and they're all like a hard avoid, in my opinion. But in terms of the mid, just for now, just keep an eye on them. But I'd be more interested in Rashford than Jadon Sancho.
All right. Thanks, Gabe. So to start off,
Javid, I think Gabe is right there as well, though. But I think with Sancho, I think he's more rotational risk, because I know the first game you can't base it off that he took him off early, but I think what will happen with Ragnik is he likes the youth system and younger players. I think he'd be playing them quite often. Don't get me wrong, Sancho is obviously young, but I'd see Elanga playing a few games. Like, he took off Sancho early. He likes Greenwood. When Martial is back, you might play him. He seems to like Cavani. Could play him up top with Ronaldo. And he could still put Rashford on them wide cams or whatever way he plays them, with the attacking mids as the 4-2-2-2. But the thing with Rashford is, and his work rate isn't amazing. But I think he'll rotate as well. Like, when Pogba comes back, that's another issue then as well. Like, I'd say he will play Pogba. Would he play Pogba one of them attacking mids like Bruno is? Would he play both of them as attacking mids? I don't think so. He could play one or the other. So when Pogba comes back, then it'll be a situation. But I agree with the Rashford thing, because it's a front two. You're playing a mid out of position up top. That's why he's more favourable than Sancho, in my opinion, as well. But obviously, you have to see with Sancho first. But I think Sancho could be more rotation risk than Rashford, even though he has looked better than Rashford. But it depends with United. It's only the first game, Ragnick. I think you still have to wait and see. But Ronaldo, he's probably is still realistically the best option from United. That's without a shadow of a doubt. I know he can still get the odd rotation risk, but it's Ronaldo.
Andy, you could go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, just to reiterate what Dano said, and I think the reason I wouldn't go for Rashford is his price tag is quite high, and the rotation that you get from Greenwood, Cavani, it's too much for me. I just don't like the minutes that Rashford is probably going to expect over this Christmas time. And it's fine if he's 7 million, because it's quite easy to fit in and move on, but being above 9 is kind of a big chunk of your budget for someone who's not particularly nailed on, I think, yet, especially with Greenwood and Cavani. And Ronaldo could play up top as well. So for me, even though he's out of position at the moment, I still wouldn't go near Rashford personally.
I think people would agree as well. Andy's point is good there. I think, obviously, if you think of United mid, I think you'd rather go for two City mids than one-on-one. I think you'd rather like a Foden and a Bernardo, or say a Bernardo and a Gundogan over like a Rashford and a Sancho or one or the other of the City. So I think you'd rather two over one. And
just the price tag, isn't it, Dan, as well? Bowen. Yeah, I mean, there's a price tag as well. So if the United mids were the same price as the City mids, you could argue it. But the fact that
they're very expensive considering the minutes they could get, and United have a lot of attacking options. It's kind of different with the holding mids. They don't have as much in defenders. Obviously, they'll have a few options in defence, but the attacking options United have are crazy. Like, you still have Alanga, you still have Ama that he could play as well. People don't realise, but he really likes youth players. Alanga could start over even some of them top players, because he came on against Crystal Palace, so you know, anything can happen with Ragnik, and we still don't know yet. So yeah, maybe possibly wait and see with the defence. Like, obviously people are talking about De Gea as a keeper, I'd still wait for that. I don't really know about that either, but defenders wise I don't know as well, because the centre backs can be rotational as well. When Varane comes back, one of them will be gone, and then sometimes he could play any, really, he could play Boye as well. So the defences are maybe a wait as well, but yeah, I'd rather two City mids though, personally, but we have to wait and see with United. It's just a tricky situation at the minute. But as a United fan, I am happy with Ralf Rangnick, and we'll just have to wait and see. But FPL wise, it's too tricky, and you could just lose points unnecessarily for players that won't get enough points that you need, personally.
All right, thanks, Dano, the manual man in this spaces. All right, so we covered defense, we covered the midfield. For forward now, I was going to start off this discussion. So I had Kane. Kane was hurtful, and I already transferred out Kane for Ronaldo. And so I actually got Ronaldo when Kane was dropping, and I think Ronaldo is going to rise tonight. Now, sadly, last night I was tinkering with my team. And I just want to give you guys an example of what you can get if you downgrade Kane or you downgrade Ronaldo. So my front line right now, it would have been Antonio, King, and if I downgrade Ronaldo or Kane to Watkins, right? This is what my midfield could be. My midfield could be Salah, Jota, Bowen, Foden, and Silva. That's Bernardo Silva. And that still gives me the defense of Trent, Cancelo, James, Livramento, and White. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, what did I do? Because imagine that. That would have been a benching headache, because if you would find yourself now with two City midfielders, and basically the bench options now would be whether to play Bowen or whether to play King. So guys, that's just some food for thought for those who didn't already sell Kane or Ronaldo. That's where you could get out of it. So Gabe, I guess you can start off this discussion.
Are you sure about that, Javed? Because you might end the space that you're going to cry, man. I'm going to make you feel worse. My main thing with Ronaldo is that I don't expect him to play. I expect him to play maybe two out of every three games during the fixture crunch. He's a premium player that you're going to get 66% of matches in these upcoming fixtures, and that you're also never going to captain, because you're going to captain Salah throughout. So it's like you just pointed out. I just think those funds are so much better spent throughout the team, getting that double City mid or something like that, than going at, and you know, I say this fully, you know, I know full well that Ronaldo's gonna do well. He is. That's, you know, I have that for a given, but I think the City players are gonna do well with those fixtures as well. And Bowen is doing well right now. And yeah, so that's the main thing. It's two thirds of a player at a premium price that you won't captain. And that just doesn't add up for me.
Again, Gabe, just to repeat, remember this midfielder, Jota, Salah, Foden, Bernardo Silva, Bowen.
If you you're going to get Bernardo. You're going to get that. You're going to get that tattooed somewhere, Javed. I know it.
Dan, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I listened to Gabe and Mariner earlier on Net That Hall. So I've heard Gabe's reasoning against Ronaldo twice today now. So yeah, he's really got me thinking. Because as I say, I got Bernardo in Saturday night, and my plan was to get Ronaldo in for Tony by downgrading Diaz to Soufal. I've got exact money, but yeah, I'm just wavering on Ronaldo now. Surely he doesn't play all the games. I think he probably could be two and three, like Gabe said. I'm sure he'll do well and he'll score the goals, but I just wonder if that midfield does sound tasty, Jared. And I think we probably will need the strong bench that you mentioned, because COVID, etc. We're probably going to have games called off, judging by this Spurs. Was it Spurs Brighton this weekend? So we could need our benches. If we've got a strong bench, we can probably cope with games that are cancelled at short notice, and B, if we get an injury, we can probably just hold that player for a couple of game weeks and bench them, because we've got players on our bench that can come into our 11. So it's a pivotal decision for a lot of us this week.
I think there's two upsides. So I agree with Dan. If you have a stronger bench, you have the upside in people that you have a stronger bench. The day of Ronaldo, they have the upside in you getting points, but they don't have the stronger bench and you have other options. So it can kind of even itself out, but I'd kind of prefer the stronger bench, because you have more of an upside on them. And don't get me wrong, Ronaldo is obviously a great option, but as someone mentioned there, Salah's kind of a permanent captain. I hope he's going to really change. Maybe the odd week, if someone's really struggling with rank and really needs a differential, you're going to go for it. But Ronaldo still really won't be that. I know he'd be a differential captain, but compared to others, you know, it'd be more better differential captains. But I think at the minute, obviously, people are kind of downgrading, like Tony to King. King is an option. Obviously, people have Antonio. Watkins at the minute is probably an option too. But Calvert-Lewin and Bamford will probably start being options again soon. Calvert-Lewin comes back from injury, and Bamford has them fixtures. I still think Bamford can obviously score a goal or two in them fixtures, but after them fixtures, if Leeds starts getting okay fixtures, he could be an option too. And then other forwards, you could see them doing well, and that means you can just reinvest money. And forwards will become like good again. Obviously, there's a few options, but there won't be as many as there will be in a few weeks. But yeah, that's just my thought on that. I'll let Andy speak.
Sounds like Bamford's out again, unfortunately. News today that he might be out for 3 or 4 weeks, and Phillips might be out for a month as well. So it doesn't look good for us.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, over the next 4 weeks against the tough fixtures without Bamford and Phillips.
Well, I'm glad I'm getting rid of Rafinha then.
Yeah, I mean, target Leeds, to be honest. It's not looking great. So, I mean, when Man City come up against us...
kind of feel bad for Calvin Phillips, though. He's always getting injured now and then. It's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. It is what it is, but we'll have to deal with it. In regards to team structure, I think a lot of people will be going for the 4-5-1. Perhaps we should be trying to get the heavy midfield where we have the five midfielders playing week in, week out, and the bench options either two forwards or two defenders. I think that's probably a lot of people will be going that way to try and get the five midfield. So it's just a case of who do you want that one forward to be week in, week out? Is it Antonio? Is it Ronaldo? Is it others? Because I think, for me personally, I'll be looking at King and Broya and probably having both of them bench most weeks as options to come on, is the way I'm looking to set up now. And that's quite unusual for me to only have the one up top. But I think the way the midfield is going, I think the amount of options in midfield, it's good to have kind of your cheaper midfield around about Bowen's price so that it's easy to jump on anyone if necessary, because you want to keep up this five midfield, I think, over this period and the way it's going. So either 4-5-1, perhaps 3-5-2, if you're feeling confident about your second forward. But for me, I think it's 4-5-1, and it's just whether I get Ronaldo in for Kane or Antonio. So that's my decision.
So Gabe is my geographic neighbor, and I think that he should have... you know, talk me out of this before and say, you know, we're going to have this space, wait and make a decision. So, Gabe, I really do appreciate it.
The best emoji ever created in space is the 100, though. It's just so easy just do it.
It's easy to make friends with the 100.
Yeah. No, there's some more options.
I mean, there needs to be more emojis, right? I need to be aggressive at some people.
Who do people consider, like, attacking options? I mean, obviously, you have the Primas, Ronaldo. But most people are talking, obviously, they're talking about King and Dennis right now, maybe Watkins and Tony. Or does anyone have any other options you think is good? Maybe Broja or another Southampton attacker. Does anyone have any other options outside of them? Or are they just the main sorts of attacking options at the minute?
Yeah, I mean, for me, Broja is great. I think he'll just be the third sub because I can't trust him.
Yeah, he's very cheap.
But at 5 million, and if you need a full bench, it's not a bad third option. I don't like any of the 4.5 forwards. They just don't get any minutes, do they? So Broya is probably the cheapest one that can get minutes and can get returns.
Are you disrespecting Scarlett and the goal, Keenan Davis?
Well, I mean, who knows? Because Scarlett might be used this week, right? If the game goes ahead.
That's a real question for me. I have Scarlett, and he might save me a hit if he plays.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he could be lucked out a bit with all the news. I mean, if they're down to Scarlett, then keep him definitely.
What's your thoughts on the forwards, Javid? As you're the host, I want to see your thoughts on forward options.
Right. So right now I have Antonio and Ronaldo. So I have to sell Tony, and the options playing on my mind right now is Tony to Dennis. I mean, not Tony to Dennis, Tony to King, sorry. And if I do Tony to Broja, I could get Foden and probably Bowen or Bernardo and Bowen. So I don't know, guys. What do you think about that? Is King essential? Is that Watford forward essential right now?
Jovan, are you going to play King though, realistically? Because if you're not going to play King, then you might as well get Breuer, because you're still not going to play Breuer either, right?
Well, I mean, okay, so against, so the next fixture, Brentford, Watford. Yeah, I'll play King in that. Then we have Burnley, Watford. I guess King would start in that fixture also. Watford, Crystal Palace, another one for King. And then after that is Wolves, Watford. He could get Ben. So, you know, for the next three fixtures, at least the Watford striker looks decent to me. What do you guys think about that?
Do you think that's a 3-5-2?
Ivan Origi looks like an FPL option now, just after scoring in the Champions League, back-to-back goals. Could be a third forward if anyone wants a differential, to say the least.
We've all got three Liverpool, Dano. Come on. You can't do that.
Yeah, Dano, you're a troll.
I mean, if you haven't got Jota or Salah or Trent, I guess Origi's an option. No, he's not at all.
You'd be getting zero points or minus points, so probably not.
Just get Trent in, right? If you haven't got three Liverpool already. But yeah, I mean, Javid, do you think you'd be set up 3-5-2 if you go King?
If I go King for the next three fixtures, I will actually be 4-4-3. Yeah.
There's too many players. Is it 3-4-3, you think?
I muted my mic there, sorry. I would actually be I would play three on top, and the midfield would either switch to a 4, and the defense could switch to a 3 or 4.
Okay.
But definitely it'll be three on top, because it will be Ronaldo, Antonio, and King for the next three. So you guys, what do you think? Broha or King? And strengthen that midfield and get Bernardo
Options, but if you're playing on the bench, probably, I agree with Andy, probably Broha. It's not that much more money you're freeing up, but you're still freeing up money, I suppose.
Let me just paint your scenario, yeah. Right? If I do King, right, I would have Ronaldo, Antonio, King. My midfield would be Jota, Salah, Bernardo, and I would not be able to own Bowen, right? So Bowen would remain Mbeumo, right? If I do Broha, then I would comfortably get Bernardo and Bowen.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to do that, though, because Mbeumo and Bowen are just levels apart. I don't know if anyone else agrees, but yeah. Obviously, like, Broha and King, they're both different players, but yeah, Bowen and what's his name? Mbeumo are just totally apart.
So the question now would be, right, King in the next three fixtures, would he outscore Bowen?
Debatable. I think it's definitely up for debate. I wouldn't like to say one or the other, so perhaps you can go King, because the fixtures are nice for Watford, and Kings look great as well. So yeah, if you got Antonio, I think you can cover yourself a bit with West Ham. So perhaps having King in is a fine option, yeah.
May I ask people's thoughts on, I know it's a different attacking option, what are people's thoughts on Watkins? Because he seems to be getting a lot of hype recently. So, do people actually like him as an asset, or do you think he's a bit of a troll player?
I don't think he's a troll player. I just don't think he's going to get many returns. I don't think Villa aren't a team, a free scoring team. I think they're a solid team. And Gerrard likes to get the teams solid first, like a solid foundation first, and then win games by not many. We've seen that at Rangers. He likes to go for the clean sheets and make sure everything's tight and organised.
He's done well at Villa so far, to be fair, to Gerrard.
He's done well. Gerrard's great.
It's quite refreshing, actually.
Gerrard's great, but do you see Villa as free scoring like other teams?
Not really. I can see the way he's setting up. It's just different. It's that kind of 1-0 or the 2-1, or even if he needs to go for a draw, he kind of just goes for the draw. I see what you mean there. It's not really high scoring, free flowing football, but yeah, he's still doing well considering where they actually were. He's done a good bit of improvement.
Yeah, I mean, Gerrard's great, but I think that when you look at Watkins for his price. I don't see too many returns. I mean, you could return every game, but I don't see the haul in him. That was any upside you want. Someone like Josh King, Ranieri likes this Watford team to play on the front foot, and they look quite attacking.
I think you'd rather Rojo than maybe Watkins as well, because you free up a good bit of money, and then you can just have him as a bench option and use the mids.
Yeah, it's an awkward one to go for Watkins. I think at that price, you go for Antonio, who's just a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, it seems like most people go for Antonio and King at the minute.
Mm.
Dan, what about the scenario I painted just now with Broja as opposed to King? What do you think about that?
It's a tricky one, has been said. I've got King and Antonio. I think the fact you've got Antonio, maybe you can get away without Bowen. It's a tough one, Javid. Who's your fifth midfielder? Is it a dead spot?
My fifth midfielder is a forward that I would never play and would give me 2 points. Yeah. Sissoko. Although the day that although he got an assist recently, but he was still on my bench.
So if you go Broja, you're probably going to have to play fourth defender if you don't play Broja. Is that right?
If I play Broja, then I would no. If I play Broja, I could yeah, definitely what you said there, Dan. So I'd have to play either Livramento or White.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as a Breyer owner, I think it's always difficult for me to start him. I'm reluctant to start him, but just because if he doesn't start, he's coming on. And that 1 point is horrible. So, but I'm happy for him to be on the bench that price. And if I need him, hopefully I get lucky and it's one of the games he starts and gets a return. But I would be reluctant to start Breyer. But I don't see that for King. I think it's King, someone you can start. So it's an awkward one, especially if you've got Fodder and Sissoko. I wouldn't particularly like to go Breyer and Sissoko on the bench. So I think I'd favour the King, because then you can call upon Mbeumo off the bench. I think that's probably the better option.
I know it's slightly off topic, but could everyone give their condolences to Andy for tripling up on PSG and UCL fantasy?
I did it like last
year. So unlucky, like, man. So
how
unlucky.
Differential can I go? I went for it, yeah. It's not great, is it? The outcome wasn't great, but I went for the high upside. Didn't happen. I'm not bothered.
I went for the PSG duo of Mbappe and Messi. Luckily, I was more lucky than you.
That's very nice. Very nice.
All right, guys. So we had the time now where we have a 30-minute Q&A session. So anybody in the listening crowd can go ahead and request a mic. We'll allow you to speak. I have two guys who requested from the start, so I'll just enable you, and you can raise your hand. We'll give you the go-ahead to start.
Could I quickly ask, because we were talking about before the space started, about I was asking whether I should play my wild. I'll take my hand out. Whether I should play my wild card or just use my two free transfers and play the wild card in one of the later game weeks. What would you suggest, Javid, or anyone else? Do you think I should just play my wild card now?
Dana, you want to share your team with us to look at?
Yeah, 1 minute. Yeah, no, I'll get it now.
Yeah, Shane. All right, so
you can add someone else.
In the meantime, Molson, you could go ahead and speak. All right, Akib, you could mute your mic and go ahead and ask your question.
I guess nobody wants to ask you a question,
Jack. I think those guys requested a long time ago, haven't they? Maybe they
might be asleep.
Yeah.
All right, GB. Can't get a ball out of. Hi.
Yes, go ahead, Akib. All right.
Hello.
Yes, hello. All right, B, you have a question for us. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, everyone. I just want to get your thoughts on a big hit this week on -8. I'm looking to get rid of Tony, Kane, and Rafinha for all different reasons. I just want to get your thoughts on that. I know because it's a big hit, but I think it could be worth it because those players are useless now.
I'm actually, can I say on this, B? Because I'm probably likely to move the same three players on, but be for minus fours. I've got two free transfers. I think because the fact that Tony's going to miss a couple of games for COVID, the fact that Kane has been useless gives you funds, and Rafinha's fixtures turn. I think it's a fine minus eight. I know it's always a big points hit to take a minus eight, but the upgrade should be decent enough with the funds you're going to get from those three players. Are you thinking something along the lines of like a King, Ronaldo, Foden, like myself, or would it be something else?
Definitely Ronaldo. I'm not sure between Bowen and Bernardo and either King or Dennis. So,
okay, it's worth it. So you can't quite get to Foden because of the funds, I guess.
Sadly not. I've got Foden and Broja, but I don't think that's worth it. I think I'd rather King or Dennis.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I mean,
with respect to King and Dennis, it's just 0.1 million in it. And Dennis basically has been overperforming. I think he might dry up a bit. And King is on penalties, so that's my reason for going with King.
Yeah, Jav, just when B finishes his thing there, I shared the tweet of the team as well, just there as well, by the way.
Oh, Daniel, you could go ahead and share it on this piece, you know.
Oh, so no, I already shared it. It's already shared.
Yeah, he has done, yeah.
Okay, great.
I think with just go back to Dennis as well, I think there is a chance he goes to AFCON, right, if that's still going ahead. So King for the Christmas fixtures, and the fact he's on penalties, I think King's the better option to Dennis. Even though Dennis has done great, I think King is still the one to go to.
See, the issue I have is I could get Bernardo and Dennis, or King and Bowen, and then upgrade Wilson or Alonso next week. And I'm not quite sure about that one, but
depends if you like Alonso or not for the coming fixtures. I still think the big three teams, defence-wise, I still have faith that they'll keep the clean sheets. They're so much better than the rest of the league. I think the clean sheets are just around the corner. I know we've had a couple of weeks where they haven't kept the clean sheets, but that often means they're going to tighten up. Like Pep, Klopp, Tuchel are seeing they're conceding again. Right. Now let's properly concentrate on the clean sheet, and I think that's the way it goes. So I wouldn't be too averse to keeping the big defenders like Alonso at the back. I think the clean sheets will come again.
I think you're spot on with that, yeah. Thanks, Andy.
No worries.
All right, thanks for your question, B. Dano, now we could go back to your question with the wildcard. So basically, how you feel about Vardy right now?
Probably will want to get rid of him. Vardy's a bit up and down. You just never know what's going to happen with Vardy. And even when he plays, he can always haul, don't get me wrong, but sometimes he can blank too, and he can always play Daka or Iheanacho. So, and there's other options he has. So, yeah.
So Dano, my suggestion for you, and this is just my opinion, I think, and you have two free transfers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if I was you, I would move Kane, Vardy, and Rafinha for this game week, and then reevaluate for the next, and probably wildcard in the next game week.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I don't know what the other guys think about that.
Yeah, I see what other people have to say, opinions. What do you think, Andy or Dan or
anyone? Yeah, I think the lack of City options is crying out in your team at the moment. But with two frees, that can be sorted out quite quickly, right? So
yeah.
I'm not too sure because, I mean, even you got players like Brownhill, Saka and Bremo. They're not players that are going to get the big hauls that you cry out. And a lot of players are going to have the City mid, Jota in the midfield, Bowen. So you're kind of missing three players in the midfield. I think that's a possible wildcard.
Yeah, the players you'd probably realistically get out are maybe one of the defenders, White, Livermento, but you could probably keep them. I'd say keep James. This is what I'm just thinking. Well, I was thinking anyway, Tinker, and probably keep James, Trent, and Cancelo.
Yeah.
Maybe look at the keepers as well. You don't have to really change them, but just because Foster's out and then Sanchez is fixtures, it is a good chance of bringing a different keeper possibly. And then
I mean, what if Brighton Spurs is off because of COVID? Then you're out of keeper as well this week.
Yeah, true. So that means as well then, Mbeumo, Saka and Rafinha could be the three to go. And then possibly Brownhill well if it went for a five-man midfield. I think King and Antonio are grand.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I think it's illegal for you to have a wild card at this point in time. It's just illegal. It shouldn't happen.
But I think realistically, I don't know what anyone else's thoughts is, but the players you obviously probably keep in there, the three defenders there, Salah, King and Antonio, they're probably the most players out of them are the players you just have to keep. So they're probably the...
Yeah, definitely those would be the players to keep if you're going to do it. You'll just probably have like five or six players to keep and then you just... That team, you're going to toss that upside down. Maybe, Dano, I could message the team that I got without Ronaldo. I'll send that to you after.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for the suggestions as well, Andy. Appreciate it.
All right, we have a question from Daryl. Daryl, you could go ahead and ask a question.
Hi, good afternoon, all. I just have one question. Is Fred an option for Manu?
Dano, you are the Manu man. Tell us.
On your bench, yeah. Starting, no. Nah, Fred just got lucky. Obviously, he's good, like, bench fodder, but he's all right bench fodder if you want, like, a fifth mid just to put on your bench to get tick over points, but he's not really going to... That was just lucky, to be honest. He's just in the right position at the right time. Like, Fred is normally... No offence to Fred, but he's normally crap at shooting. He kind of just... Most of his shots just go over into next week, so... Or into another... Some of his shots at Old Trafford probably goes all the way into the Etihad. That's how bad his shooting can be, but... Yeah, as an FPL option, not really. I'd probably even rather Gilmore over him, realistically. And you save a bit of money. So, yeah, I wouldn't really consider Fred, no, personally.
All right, thanks, Daryl. Sham, you have a question for us?
Hey, guys. So, basically, I don't have a City mid. And I do have Rafinha, ESR, Jota, Son, Salah. Is it worth... moving on Son due to the COVID outbreak or keeping him and trying to work around getting Rafinha out because of his fixtures and bringing in a Silva or Foden. But that'll mean I need to take a hit and remove possibly Alonso from the defence. So I get your thoughts on those transfers, if it makes sense or not.
Dan, you could go ahead and take this one.
So you've got Son and Rafinha.
Correct. Yeah,
I think I'd obviously we'll wait to hear later in the week on Son, but I've already done Son to Bernardo, but if money's not an issue and it doesn't affect other moves, I'd probably go Foden. Contradicts my move, but
it depends on if I want to move away from the Spurs asset, right? Because I know Spurs has a double game coming up due to the possible cancellation of the Brighton fixture.
Sham, that's only dependent on if they lose the
that's
the League Cup game, so
yeah, that's true. So if he does continue to play due to the no COVID, I want to keep him because he's a good asset to have, right? And I want to move Rafinha, but I don't have the money to do that. Rafinha to Foden or Silva move now. I need to downgrade the defense and I kind of don't want to do that as well, but
yeah, I see what you mean.
It's a tough one.
I don't really want to lose Alonso right now either.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess you could do Rafinha to Bowen as an option, but I think it may fall in your lap because if Son is confirmed COVID,
yeah,
given we've got midweek games next week, he'll probably miss Brighton and Leicester.
Yeah.
So if he does that, and then he's got Liverpool the game week after.
Yeah.
So I think he's a definite sell then. But
so I just hold my hand for now and then wait and see, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you're still stuck later in the week, give me a DM. We can discuss.
Sure, no problem.
Sham, one thing I do like this week is And I'm probably going to sell Rafinha, but it does worry me that he's up against Alonso as like the matchup. And Rafinha against Alonso, there's only one winner, right? I mean, Alonso's going to be high up, Rafinha in behind. Is it the right week to sell Rafinha?
I know a lot of people selling him, but I personally want to keep him just for this week. Yeah, just for this week to see how he plays against the Chelsea defense. That I feel as though the wing backs are being held back due to the creative force of the Chelsea midfield with Mount being back. That Rafinha may have something to say in this game. But
he often does, and he can get more space against the bigger teams as well. So
Rafinha will be my first Sam bench on my bench. Yeah,
fair enough. It is Chelsea. Yeah. I mean, but I benched Bowen against Chelsea this week. Got lucky, but the same thing with Rafinha, right? I mean, Rafinha, there's no reason why he can't haul against Chelsea as well.
Sorry to ask the next question, right? This is my last one. Should we haul off on buying Masti assets due to a player in our Wolves team who is pretty organized at the back and in midfield as well, and hold our transfer till next week and save and try to put out other fires?
Sham, that is exactly what I'm doing. I'm fixing my forward line, so I did Ronaldo, and I'm going to do King. Right, so my front line would be King, Antonio, and Ronaldo. And my next transfer would be Rafinha out for Bernardo Silva. So
That was my thinking as well. Something along those lines. Cheers, guys. Thanks for the advice.
Thanks, Sham. So we have Quentin. You could go ahead and ask a question.
Hey, I have Vardy. I kind of want to keep him for just Newcastle because it's Newcastle. But after that, I don't really got a plan with him. I'll probably want to look at like lower him down to Watkins so I can use a budget to get a city midfielder for just Leeds. That seems like my best option because I don't got much in the bank and none of the other 7 million forwards seem good enough to downgrade to. So is Watkins really a viable option then for those two game weeks versus Norwich and Burnley?
I don't mind that. So you'd keep Vardy for this week against Norwich at Newcastle?
Yeah, because it's Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, I've got good memories of holding Watkins last season. Obviously, it's a different environment now with Gerrard in. And as Andy was saying earlier, he doesn't expect Villa to score too many goals. But I guess for the game week 17 and 18, when they play Norwich and Burnley, it's a good time as any if you want to jump on Watkins. And as you say, it then gives you the money to get a City midfielder. So, I like it.
Yeah, only my... Okay, well, if the Spurs COVID outbreak is real and Son is affected by it, should I prioritize Son to get out or Vardy? Because that will affect my future transfer plan of that.
Yeah, I think if Son is out, as I said to Sham, I think we've got to get rid.
Okay.
He likely miss Brighton, Leicester, and then he's got Liverpool. Of course, he could score against Liverpool.
Yeah, better make sense.
I think we've got to wait for news. Any COVID related cases, I think they'd be back. My priority, because we don't know how we talk about when they might return, but they might suffer from the effects of COVID. It might take them even longer to come back. I suspect they've probably been double jabs, so maybe the symptoms won't be too bad.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks for the help.
All right, thanks for your question, Quinton. So we have Jared from the Fantasy Pavilion. Jared, tell us about the Fantasy Pavilion, and you can go ahead and ask your question to the panel.
Okay, thanks for having me, bro. Well, you know, Fantasy Pavilion, we just try to do the same thing you all do, try to pick the best punts and provide the best advice and do all the eye tests and hard work for the for viewers. Right now I'm in a bit of a
Jarad, what you could do, you could probably share the link on the space to their YouTube channel. So guys, you could Jarad is recently started doing FPL content. He had some interviews with Gabe. He had one planned today with Nima. He did one with me. So he's a up and coming guy. You guys, give him your support, give him a follow. Right? Jarad, go ahead.
Again, greatly appreciate that, man, Javin, and thanks, guys. So I held on to I don't believe in goalkeeper transfers, so I held on to, I had Raya when he got injured, and I'm stuck with Sa. Now, of course, it would have been great if maybe just for one more minute in the Liverpool game, I would have gotten the clean sheet points. But I'm wondering if I have two free transfers. I'm wondering if the just rule one with the keeper, maybe get someone else in that may not be under the cosh as he is, because he has some very interesting fixtures. Or should I just bank on the save points? And because I mean, it's a goalkeeper. Goalkeepers are not, you know, they don't have to keep clean sheets. So I'm wondering if they just keep him, or maybe bringing Ramsdale, or maybe I'm not sure, my Sanchez or something like that, just for the while.
No. Keep him. Not worth the transfer.
Exactly.
I don't think you're going to get many points extra from swapping your keepers. I mean, transfers are precious, and I wouldn't be making that move. So I can get some save points. It's easily feasible that Ramsdale and Sanchez lose the clean sheet every game. So I personally don't think Sar's going to be too far behind, and I don't think it's worth the transfer, especially when you want to make other moves in your team. So for me, Sar's a keep, definitely. Just stick with it, because eventually Sar's fixtures will turn again, and Ramsdale's and Sanchez's won't, and then it will come back to you, and I would just stick with it.
Yeah, fully agree. That was my thoughts. That's really my big concern. Everything else I'm fine with. I brought in some guys before the purple patches, like Bowen and stuff, and so I'm good with that. It's just the keeper issue I was having a big issue with, really. Yeah, thanks, guys.
I mean, I guess if you've got nothing else to do, it's perhaps, rather than burn a transfer, you could do that. But I think there's got to be something else you can do over that.
I mean, maybe get rid of Pookie. That might be the next thing, really. But other than that, I don't have any pressing. I don't have any fires, really. I'm just comfortable with my team for now. Midfield is great. Defense is great. So the only odd person in my team, really, is Pookie. That's the only odd person in my team. I have Antonio. I'm sticking with him. I'm sticking with Vardy. I'm confident with them. It's like the guy just said,
you could do Pookie to King.
Yeah. But see, I'm more favoring Dennis for some reason. I heard you talk about King, and I understand why, but I'm favoring Dennis for some reason more than King. But King gets most of the assists. He's holder play is what is driving the team. So I understand why. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the Dennis is a good option as well, but King's also on that. Penalties, and if AFCON happens, as people mentioned, Dennis would be affected by that as well. So, yeah, they're both good options, but both better than Pookie. I mean, I know Pookie's been scoring goals, but yeah, you can still keep Pookie. But yeah, if you've no other fires to put out, and you're not gonna just, there's no point in burning a transfer, then you can just do Pookie. I'd agree with Andy. I'd just keep her. There's no real point in changing keepers, in my opinion.
Yeah, fully agree.
All right, thanks, Jarad. So we have Dr. Buffon. Dr. Buffon is our resident doctor in FPL Trinidad. If you go to Dr. Buffon and you say that you have been part of the FPL dialogue, you'll get a discount in his doctor visits. So, Dr. Buffon, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are things?
All is well. So what's your FPL dilemma going forward?
My dilemma going forward is basically, I guess, trying to be a patient and not be hasty, and you know, play for what I see as opposed to what I hope could happen. You know, a lot of individuals always have a lot of, you know, what could happen in terms of his goalkeeper, defense, midfield, or attack. But I'm just trying to be patient. For me, I've had Ronaldo since he started playing. I've kept the faith, and I'm just hoping to see you know, how if it really pays off in the long run. One of the talks, I think, is with Ducky. Somebody mentioned, you know, playing the boring game. And as much as there are a lot of different game weeks throughout the summer month, just trying to play the boring game and see how it pays off, you know. I guess less haste, more speed, hopefully. So I'll see. I don't really have a specific dilemma right now.
As you mentioned, Ducky could use your attention right now, Dr. Buffon. He isn't well, so could probably pay him a visit.
Oh my, I hope it's not COVID.
He didn't mention, but he can't really speak and he isn't doing too well.
If it is COVID, he won't be paying you a visit then.
Yeah, definitely the best place is hospital. Yeah. But I mean, I have a question though. I mean, you know, for this FPL season thus far, I mean, forwards have been, you know, returns from forwards have been few and far in between. And, you know, I'm not sure. I just not too long logged in. I heard you guys talking about forwards. You know,
Buffon,
I mean,
I'm surprised you have time to play FPL since you're a doctor.
I mean, definitely. I mean, football is a passion.
Yeah, hobby.
You have to do something outside of work, you know. It can't just be all work alone. You know? So, yeah, you know, who's the forward? Two people picking. I think right now the variety, the differences in teams will be via the forwards. A lot of individuals have the same midfield, have the same defense. You know, so what's the deal with the forwards, you know? Who we could look forward to picking over the next couple game weeks going into January, February? I guess if I had a dilemma, that's where it would be right now.
Oh, well, we looked at the Watford forward line. That's good for at least the next three fixtures. Antonio is good straight on till, I think, game week 26. Ronaldo is good for some fixtures. Dan, I guess you had something to say. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, exactly that. I think a Watford forward, Antonio, and then if you want to go big, you can go Ronaldo. Or if you want to pump some more money into midfield instead of Ronaldo, you go someone like Watkins. But yeah, that seems to be the forward template going forward. Or you could tank that position to a 4.5 or a Broya. And pump up to a big five-man midfield.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I purchased Dennis last week for the City fixture. I just thought that it really didn't matter what team he played against. I think after seeing him play Man United and a couple of the other top table teams, he still looked decent enough for a decent pick. So I just said I would have brought him in one time. And so I just have Ronaldo and Dennis right now. Antonio's a decent pick if it is that persons are willing to, you know, play the patient game. I have a couple of friends who had him since the beginning and they haven't sold him. And just a couple more fixes again and he has another good run coming up. So, you know, he's an option if Ronaldo doesn't pay off for me.
Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, I think for myself, my forward line will be either Antonio or Kane. I still can't decide. Antonio or Ronaldo. I can't decide which way to go from Kane. And then my other two forwards will be just King and Broya and use the money elsewhere in my team. I'm likely going to be setting up as a 4-4-2. So I have big four defenders. I've got double City defence with Cancelo and Diaz, with James and Trent. As a lot of people do, perhaps not DS, but the others are pretty standard. And then I'll be able to get Salah, Jota, Bowen and Foden as a midfield four with King and either Antonio or Ronaldo up top. So, and I think that's quite a template move and it's not very exciting, but I think a lot of people will be going to use the funds in midfield where they can. And I think you can get away with it because King has got the nice fixtures. Broya is someone that can just stay on the bench and come in if necessary.
An option to go with cheap forwards at the minute and then using the money to go elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you want the City mids, right? So if you've got Jota and Salah already,
then yeah, I'm in a handy position, as I said earlier, Buffon, because I've still have my wild card, so that's I'm gonna really need that, especially for the mids, because if I keep going out without these top mids, my rank is just gonna keep decreasing. So I'm kind of happy to have cheap forwards and then pump my money into the mids and still have obviously the defenders you kind of need. So that's what I'm probably gonna do. I'm just gonna go with cheap forwards. I don't know who my third option would be, but I'm definitely gonna keep King and Antonio. That's for sure. And you just never know what's gonna happen with the next few weeks, players being out and all that, so we just have to wait and see. But yeah, cheap forward seems like the option at the minute, but obviously that can all change.
All right, guys, so I guess we wind it down now. Any of these speakers, you have anything to add before we close?
I'm not sure if anybody mentioned about City double up in the midfield as an option. I saw someone of those guys from
We were
talking about it.
Me and Andy and Dan and Javid were talking about this earlier in the kind of mid space we were talking about. We're talking about obviously United mids, and I suggested that, yeah, I'd maybe hold off United mids. Obviously, we briefly talked about that and nobody was really that interested in them. But yeah, we were kind of talking about maybe a possible Man City double up in Foden and Bernardo Silva. And then third option could be Gundogan if you want to go slightly different. But Bernardo Silva and Foden seems like a good double up. But yeah, if you want to just go for one, obviously Bernardo Silva or Foden is a good option. But yeah, I think Bernardo Silva and Foden together could be really effective. But yeah, really depends, really, to be honest.
Dan, Andy, anything you want to add before we close?
Not particularly. Cheers, Jared, for inviting me. Been a pleasure to speak, FPL. Gave me some thoughts as well, really. I mean, my main thought is Ronaldo or Antonio this week. I think that's going to be my
dilemma. I think this is giving me more headaches, Javid.
Dana, use your wild card. Use the wild card.
No, I will. I will. But I'll be definitely... Mids is my main thought. Forwards are not really my thought at the minute because I'm kind of good with my forwards. Variety will probably be changed, but King Antonio set. It's just the midfield that we'll be doing a lot of tinkering, but... Defensive-wise as well, I won't be doing that much tinkering. Maybe Livermore or White, one of them out, and I'll keep, obviously, the Trent, James and Cancelo, but I'll see what happens. I'll try to be different with one or two players, but mostly I'll try to keep a template as well. I have to kind of have the rank somehow decent as well. But, yeah, Javid as well, thanks for having me on as well. It's been a pleasure. It's been good chatting FPL. It's always good to chat about it once a week, even though it causes us a lot of stress, but there you go.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I've really enjoyed it, too. Speaking to Dano for the first time, yeah, and Andy and Gabe, and the legend that is Javed, of course. Just one final point from me. I don't know if people follow the price changes closely, but according to Fantasy Football Fix, Dennis, Bernardo, Ronaldo, and Bowen are all likely to rise in price tonight. If you're going to get priced out, obviously hold those moves if you can till the later in the week when we find out about COVID, etc. But
And watch out tomorrow and then obviously Thursday, obviously people don't forget, but UCL more tomorrow. Obviously United is going to be a lot of rotation, but for Thursday as well, watch out that Leicester fixture. If anyone has any Leicester assets, especially Vardy, to see how many minutes he plays, that's an important game for them because anyone can kind of win and come second in that group, and then West Ham as well, but West Ham will make a good few changes. I think they're secured out of that group anyway, so Antonio will be rested for sure. It's just to see between Bowen, Fornals, Benrahma, if you're looking at mids, to see as well. That's just giving people a heads up, but I'm sure people are aware of that already.
All right, guys, so just some content to look forward to for All About FPL. You can look forward to my buy sell keep article that should be out on around Thursday, and I started in the last 2 weeks doing some scout picks for All About FPL. The last two game weeks we scored well. We beat the official FPL scout by a landslide. Well, I mean, anybody could do that, but yeah, we did. So you could look forward to those two content pieces from me going forward from All About FPL. You know, they play third in the FCAs. And yeah, drop a follow for FPL Dagger FC to find out when would be our next FPL dialogue. Go ahead and give a follow to all the speakers, Dan Bennett, Dano, Andy Martin. You know, these guys provide great insight. And yeah, that's it from me. So green arrows to everybody. And you could look forward to the recording of this Spaces on the OFB podcast. Also drop them a follow, guys. So take care, everybody, and let the arrows be green.
Thanks, Java. Take care, everyone. See you all soon.
Thanks, all. Bye.
Take care. Bye.